Being a federal employee has its benefits, especially if you find yourself accused of wrongdoing. Several columns about that topic have appeared lately on federalnewsradio.com, including a couple I penned. They've produced quite a bit of reaction. Julia Ziegler is the managing editor of federalnewsradio.com. She spoke with me about what the latest traffic is saying.
So, Tom, we're talking about this today because of a recent column that you wrote, and it invoked some comments from our listeners. Now, this is the column that you wrote this week about MSPB Chairman Susan Sway Grundman. And I want to know, do you want to set that up for our listeners about just kind of the overall topic there?
Well, the MSPB came out with a report to Congress at Congress's request, and they wanted to get a review of the whole process of due process for federal employees, the due process for doing adverse actions against federal employees. And it turned into a very interesting history of the whole system for federal employment from the days when, you know, in the 19th century, when it was a spoils system, pure politics, to the professional civil service that we have now. And court rulings in the intervening years and all the way to the Supreme Court have affirmed something, I guess, we knew, but we didn't really totally understand. Mm-hmm. And this is in this report. So it's not my great insight. It's really the MSPB's. But federal employees have a proprietary ownership right in their jobs. And that sounds foreign to those of us in the private sector mm-hmm. who are employees at will. And so they have a constitutional right to the jobs. And that means not that they can't be fired for cause or be removed for incompetence or whatever, but it means that there has to be due process associated with that removal. And that due process can look frustrating to people who, if you did what some feds do in the private sector, you'd be thrown out the door that day.
Right.
But you can't. You can't legally, until the Supreme Court rules otherwise, you just can't summarily dismiss people in the federal government or any public sector employment. I just thought that was an interesting insight.
It is. And just to add a few facts to what you just said there, you were talking about the Supreme Court and its rulings over the years. So currently, law requires 30 days notice followed by the right to an appeal hearing if an employee does something that is wrong. Now, if there is something that has, you know, some kind of criminal activities, then removal only requires 7 days advanced written notice. But still, there's this idea of, you know, if something goes wrong, right, if you are accused of some type of wrongdoing in your job, you have rights built into the system. And I think that those are the kinds of things that it is good to remind employees that they do have. You know, it's something maybe that you can forget about sometimes.
Well, that's right. You can't say, as some members of Congress had said, you know, with respect to the VA and some other agencies, get rid of them.
Right.
Well, you might want to get rid of them, and it could be justifiable to get rid of them, but it has to be done in a proper legal way. And, you know, if you can violate those rules for one person, then you can violate it for everybody. And then the whole civil service program becomes an illegal fraud, really, on the part of federal managers in concert with Congress. And that would not be right. And so I think with the MSPB, they don't take sides on legislation. They don't advise Congress on what to legislate. They simply present the history and the current law as they interpret it, and then Congress can do what it wants. But it's unlikely even Congress would be able to take away constitutionally affirmed, right, Supreme Court affirmed right that employees have.
Well, it is pretty interesting. We did get some comments on your column, and a lot of people, I believe people who are not current federal employees, who don't believe that it makes sense, right? These probably are folks in the private sector. One person said they should get fired like anyone else. Just because the American taxpayers' money supports them doesn't mean the taxpayers should have to put up with this. Another person, Jim Bowman, called them squatters' rights.
Well, that's just darn wrong. And with respect to the other comment about fired like anyone else, you can fire a federal employee. 77,000 of them have, yes, been removed for cause in the last number of years, I think about the last 10 or 12 years. Maybe not a huge number, but it certainly belies the fact that of people's belief that it's a job for life. It is not.
Right. And like we said, I think Chairman Grundman said this in her interview with you as well, that, you know, when people are put on leave, they aren't getting paid during that time.
That's correct.
Yeah. And another person, though, did say Larry Kempke was his name. He said property rights to a job? More of a question. And I guess my question for you, Tom, is, you know, why is this distinction between the private sector and the public sector, and what is allowed in the private sector or not allowed in the private sector, and what is allowed within the federal government? Why is that distinction important? And should it be this way?
Well, ultimately, it's a reflection of the fact that there's a fundamental difference between public sector, taxpayer supported, nonprofit activities and activities conducted in the private sector for the purposes of profit. They are both worthy, and they both have good systems for the most part in operating, but they are fundamentally different. And, you know, for 25 years, I've been following and reporting on and covering the federal government. And people say often, well, the government has to work more like a business. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, that's true. In some manners, that's true. But with respect to employment, it's fundamentally different when you are using taxpayers' dollars and doing work on behalf of the public. It's also a reaction. This proprietary right and the requirement for due process is a reaction to the spoil system in which every single federal job was up to the administration and everyone was washed out when a new administration came in. And that might have worked in the 19th century, in the 20th century. But the Civil Service Commission itself, the forerunner to the structures in place now, was a reaction to the fact that you need a professional civil service in an age when technology is growing, the population is growing. It's just not the way it was in the founding days.
It's so interesting. I think it's really interesting. We keep hearing more and more about legislation or proposed legislation that would change, you know, workers' pay or bonuses, bonus structure. Obviously, we've heard about that with VA, you know, most recently. And there was a new bill that was actually passed by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee this week, somewhat tangential to what we're talking about here. But this bill would give inspectors general the power to subpoena former feds or contractors even to testify in cases of fraud where there's more than $100,000 worth of fraud, right? Or when criminal activity is suspected. And, you know, IGs in the past have complained that they can't really compel testimony from federal employees who choose to retire rather than face internal punishment. So I think all of these things are somewhat related. And it's interesting to me that it keeps bubbling up to the surface. Now, which of these things will stick? Which will just be proposals that only pass, you know, a House committee or a Senate committee? Which will gain more traction? I think still yet to be determined. But interesting, though, that so many workforce issues are being discussed in Congress.
I think people sometimes don't fully realize the power that inspectors general have now. They are sworn officers. They can carry guns and they can arrest you, actually, if you're a federal employee. They don't do it very often. But this idea of being able to subpoena people outside of government, former feds and also contractors, and clearly there are people in those classes that might have been involved in a fraud. We've had some recent examples of that, as a matter of fact. But I think Elijah Cummings from Maryland was wise to put some limit on that power by making it necessary for an IG to go to the IG panel, the Council of IGs, to get permission to be able to subpoena someone outside of government. And so it's not an unlimited power, but it does give them that tool if they need to really get to the root of something bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yet to be determined, I think, in terms of which of these, like we said, will pass, will actually become law, and which will fall to the wayside only to be maybe brought up again in future sessions of Congress.
Yeah, and to a Jim who called federal employees having their jobs as squatters' rights, I think that's a misreading of it. And so, you know, you really have to understand, you got to do like the mayor of Munchkin City said, you've got to do things legally. And, you know, that's the way it is. That protects all of us in a private and public sector.